Bisetta, today's daf we're doing daf mem, and we were discussing the issue of someone who is nishtatak, and you can confirm you can work out what he's saying by getting gestures from the body, like nods and shakes, things like that. So the Gemara says, okay, that's bilvad the misargin lo. That's not when you ask the same question to get a affirmative response 3 times in a row. You need to mix it up a bit. Let's put it that way. In other words, the way the Pnei Moshe says quite clearly, you need to get yeses and noes to understand that his yeses mean yeses and his noes mean noes. So how so? It says, Nikhtov get lishtecha. They ask, should we write a get to your wife? And he nods, Evor Mehen. What about your mother? Who will marry love? And he says, no. Lishtecha. And then he said, what about your wife? And Mehen. Lebitcha, your daughter says, no. Who will marry love? Lishtecha. He says to your wife, who will marry in? He said, yes. Fine, or if he says to your sister and he says no. So here what we've seen, he says yes, no, he's asked questions to get a yes, no, yes, no, yes, no responses. Not sure if it exactly has to be in that exact way, but at least according to the Moshe, you have to mix up 3 yeses and 3 noes. And that way you can know with certainty that his head gestures are meaningful, the shakes and the nods. Okay, the Gemara asks, okay, can we do that for up idiot ken? Someone who nishtata, can we use that means of like a communication for testimony as well, or does it literally have to be able to speak? So the Gemara says, "Ata Rabba Val b'shem Rabbi Yochanes af be'edut ken." Yes, indeed, we can rely on that for Adiot as well. Interestingly enough, now having mentioned Adiot, we mention another point here. Agav, I think that's the way the Parashah explained it here, says, "Adam me'id Adiot tol mi'ushav." That when it comes to testifying, the aid can actually be seated. Now, despite the fact it says "va'amdu shnei anashim" in the Torah, it sounds like they have to stand. That's referring to the balei dinim, the people that are coming for the court case, and not the witnesses themselves. They can be seated. Okay. Maran says "af menedarim ken." It can also apply to nedarim. We can use head gestures as a form of communication to mechayev and neder. So the Gemara says, well, let's have a look. Tani Rebbe Sheshet, Kashem Shpotkin Oto Begitin, Shosha Pa'amim, just as you confirm 3 times with his gesturing for Gittim, Kach Potkin Oto Birusha. Yerushot. Now, what's interesting? What's Yerushot got to do anything? That means if he's Me'id Shezehu Rishetzeh, that's where Kroman explained it. He's testifying to confirm some sort of Yerusha. Ubmekachomech, or business transactions, and Matanot as well. Meaning, if he wants to give a gift to someone, that can be confirmed with nods and shakes. And therefore, if it's the Matanot, also Nedarim as well. Okay, fine. That closes off the first halacha. Let's learn the next halacha, Mishnah Bet. The Mishnah says, Amrullah. They said to him, Nikhtov get lishtecha, and Amar Lahem, he says, yes, ktovu. Go, or kitvu, go write it. However, the individuals that asked him, in the end, what did they do? Amrullah Sofer, they instructed Sofer to write it, and he wrote it. La'idim, they instructed other witnesses to sign, v'chatmu. The problem is, exactly what the problem is, the Gemara is going to probe, but we could see, at least to get the pshat here, is that he told them to go ahead and do it, and they ended up instructing other people to fill those tasks. What is the issue with that? We'll have to discuss it. However, even though that they went ahead and did so, and he gave it, they gave it to him, and he ended up giving the get. That is a get batel, it's no good. Unless the Baal says, specifically gives the instruction to the sofer, ktov, will aid him, ktomo. And he says to the witnesses, write it. So it seems to be at this stage, what we've been learning before, it sounds to support the position of the Amu Imru, meaning that when it comes to the Shlichut, if he's just saying to an individual, like, I'd like you to tell so-and-so to do it, he wouldn't be able to necessarily do so. However, we have to be careful here. Very important to understand that the husband didn't say, I'd like you to tell a sofer to write it. The detail in the Mishnah is specifically, it said it seemed to instruct them to write it, and they instructed other people. So it could be another factor at play, which the Gemara is going to probe. So let's look at the Gemara now. Amr lo, nichlov l'ishtecha. Amr l'shnayim, he said to two, if he said specifically, Amr l'shnayim, imru l'ploni shtichtov, or l'ploni shtichtomu. Now, here's different to our Mishnah, because he says to two people, I'm going to go and tell so-and-so to sign, and so-and-so to, or, and so-and-so to write the get. Well, these people to sign it, and these people to write it. So here, and the so-called shlichim are faithfully fulfilling the request of the Baal. Now, the question, does that work? So Rabbi Zera says, B'shem Rabbi Yirmiyah, Maisa, there's incident like this, B'yemei Rabbi in the day at times of Rabbi, the Amar lo yaseh kein Bisrael. Well, lo yosen ken b'Yisrael was interesting because it doesn't mean it's necessarily mikar din pasul. That means the issue of amor imru is not a problem. Amor imru, once again, is this because the husband telling somebody else to go tell the sofer is not necessarily a problem. That is a fact that you can do that with a shlichut. So what then is a problem? So I'll just show you the Korban Eidah here. He says, "Vachi pirushua get kasher and lachia lo yaseh kem Yisrael." Why? Dachashinan shema tiskor edim lekach. We're concerned that this opens a vulnerability, if you like, in the whole Gittin process, because she can go ahead and then tell other edim to go and say, "Oh, say that the husband told me to tell you to go and write it and told me to deliver the get." So it creates a serious vulnerability in the whole, some computer security type of terminology, but it creates a problem that she could end up orchestrating her own divorce in this secretive way. So in other words, the people that are writing and the people signing have to hear the instruction in an ideal sense from the husband. But it's not, again, not based on a lacking in the din of shlichut here, but it's based on just the concern that this could be, she could orchestrate something that makes it look like she was divorced when she really wasn't. However, Shmuel Amar Yasef Yaseh, really it's not a problem whatsoever. Okay, now the Gemara says, now, importantly, Shmuel says 2 points we have to understand about Shmuel. One is there's no concern of this issue, and secondly, there's no issue within the din of Shlichut itself of Amo Imru, meaning if the husband says, "I'd like you to tell the sofer to write it," that's not a problem. There's no deficiency there whatsoever. Important to understand. Now the Gemara says, Rav Yirmiyah Shaila Shmuel. So, if you have a look at the Korban Eidah, he changes the next 3 lines. He says, "Amar l'shnayim tovu v'tnu write it v'tnu get l'ishti." I'd like you to write the get and give it to my wife. "V'amar l'sofer," and they said to they instructed a sofer v'katav, but they themselves went ahead v'chatnu. They in the end end up signing it. What's the din? So the Gemara says, "Amar le," said to them. This is Shmuel saying, "Teitzer," in other words, Harezeteitzer, Vadavar Tzarich Talmud, meaning it's almost like what's called a Safek Megureshet. Now the question is why? The Gemara. Now I'm going to read the Perush here of the Korban Eidah because that's almost like the Maskana of the Sugya. But the Gemara just asks, Machlafeshidei Shmuel. This seems to contradict Shmuel because why does it not seem to be a good get? It sounds like the Hava Minhag is because it's an issue of Amo Imru is Pasul. But we've just said that according to Shmuel, Yaseh v'yaseh, that there's no issue of Amor Imru. So this is what the contradiction is. So Gemara says, Shnio shinu et eilutan. The issue is because we're concerned that they were not sure what they did in terms of changing their instruction, not the issue of Amor Imru. And that's where it starts relating back to our Mishnah. So let me read now the Korban Eidah, the earlier one, that which we read the Shinu Girsa. He says, V'chen Bavli, Daf Samech Vav, sorry. When he says write it, didn't mean that I want you to actually physically sign it, or does it mean or is it saying that I want you to tell other people to sign it and you give it? The Kama Shmuel, and that's why Shmuel says, "Im neset bagetzer tetzem misafek." We have to deal with the stuff. We don't know if it was a kosher get or not. The misafkelan I kasher or lo. Because the thing is, and that's when it says Tzarich Talmud we need to learn from the Gedolim. In other words, why does he say it might not work? It's a suffix where it doesn't work. Not because, again, a deficient in shlichut. It's meaning the koach, the power of a shaliach to mamane somebody else, if you like, to tell. In other words, husband said, "I'd like you to tell so and so to do it for me." Rather, in other words, that would normally be fine. The problem is we don't know what it meant when he says v'chatmu. We're not sure if they were meshaneh, they did something different to what the husband's instructions was. That's the issue. Okay, the Gemara now says, nichala, so that solves really Shmuel. Now the Gemara says, nichala case is what? Le'edim v'chatmu l'sofer v'katav. Late had so the Gemara said, they had a paid to Rabbi Yochanan. So for this, I want to read the Korban Eidah inside because this will explain what the Lashon of the Gemara is trying to do. The Gemara is now trying to bring a Kashrut of Yochanan, a Shir of Yochanan we've seen quite a while back and a couple of times as well. This should we'll see it soon. From our Mishnah. It says, Amru lo nichtov get li'ishtecha. If they said I'd like you to write, I'd like you to go ahead and write in the get. The Amar Sorry, they said, should we write the get? And he says, Amar Kitvu, go write it. Vachakach, what happened? They told the sofer and they end up delegating all the tasks that were really meant to be his, right? They told the sofer to write it, that's all, I'll sign it. We say, pasul, it's a psul, why shinu shlichutam? Because they changed the shlichut. So that's very important to understand. Again, the issue of the Mishnah is not Amar Imru, but rather there was Meshane, the shlichut. They were told to do one thing and they did something else. Velotznan kodem shesha'alulo. Imru l'sofer lichtov get. They didn't ask. It didn't say that. Oh, they actually we didn't. In other words, the issue is the fact that they weren't managing the shlichu. Ela vada lekuma im sheyeh nichtav l'da'ato. So therefore, it must be. Now, this is an interesting pshat. He says that I'll compare it with the Panei Moshe in a moment. But it says the issue is that everyone agrees that it has to be written under the instruction of the husband. There's no question. Because lo lishmo pasul, and if it's not done lishmo, it's pasul. Now he's mixing in lishma. He'll see why in a moment. So im ken nicha mashe chatmo edim pasul. So therefore it makes sense. When the Eidim sign it, it's going to be pasul. Why? Because it wasn't under the instruction of the Baal. It's as if it wasn't done lishma. So you'll see in a minute why we're mixing in the concept of lishma as well. Ela katava sofer, if the sofer wrote it pasul, well, why should that be the case? Ela vadai ktivata get mafsil nami shelo lishma. So therefore it must be, if it wasn't under the instructions as a deficiency, it must be that that it's as if it was written lishma. Okay, that's again it's important to understand the korban and the steins two together. And the problem is, if you remember, Shita Rabbi Yochanan is, let's Rabbi Yochanan is a lot of pedigree. The Rabbi Yochanan mar katvu torfo betofes kasher. If you remember, there was a machlok in Rabbi Yochanan Rishlakish. The Rabbi Yochanan that says if you can write hare muter lekol adam ahead of time. Okay, that can be part of the tofes. Still be a kosher. It still be fine. That doesn't have to be lishma. But the problem is, if it doesn't have to be Shema, that means a get could be doesn't have to be written Shema. That means also he's tying the two together that it doesn't have to be, if you like, Ladat Abal. So why is the get going to be, why is the writing of the get going to be Pasul? Even if he told him to write it and he got somebody else to write it. Because if the get doesn't have to be, the get, well, we'll qualify this in a moment. If the get doesn't have to be Lishma going the Kromenader, then it doesn't matter if the instruction, if they didn't, it wasn't written under the instruction of the Baal. Okay, that's the kasha. So I'll just read it. There's slightly different explanation than Pnei Moshe. Pnei Moshe says, it says, had a getcha ketavat sofer velo shmami pi abal. Okay, v'im ken shmami na dematnitim palig al Rabbi Yochanan machshel elel afilu ketavat sofer atorif abatofes haget she mucham biyado. In other words, he explains it much more simply without literally mixing up the shma. I'll tell you why in a moment, because he says, okay, you're telling me that the get has to be written by the instruction of the husband. Well, Rabbi Yochanan allows the whole Torah to be written ahead of time, not even with the instruction of the Baal. So that doesn't seem to go together. It says, could it push it from the at muterkai? So even if it, in other words, he's saying, even if it wasn't done under the instruction of the Baal, well, let it, why don't you just consider it like they just bought it from the makolet, already pre-written? Shouldn't it be exactly the same thing? That's kind of the question. So the Gemara says, Patalak Rabbi Yehuda. So it must be that Shita Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, possible tofsin, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you remember, Rabbi Yehuda says of the Shita, that you can, Rabbi Yochanan will explain the Mishnah, is like Rabbi Yehuda, that even the tofes can't be written ahead of time. Okay, so that is how he explains it. Now, the problem that Mefarshim bring up with this one is the Shire Korban actually raises in the back. He says, but one second. But there's a Tofes, and this was at the Torah. Everyone agrees, at least the Torah has to be written Nishma. So what's this even a Kasha on Rabbi Yochanan? Because if the Torah has to be written Nishma, and you're trying to bind this authorization with the concept of Lishma, then clearly you can understand why the sofer writing it, there's going to be chisaron if he writes it without the direct authorization from the husband, if they were meant to write it and somebody else did. So why is it even a kasha on Rabbi Yochanan? So therefore, I saw an interesting pshat that it might, again, fit better with the Pnei Moshe, that who says the issue really is it wasn't done with his authorization. That's where we bring the kasha. The lishma component that it continues with is not. We separate the lishma and the direct instruction to write it. So let me just say it clearly. So I'm just getting a bit caught of myself. The authorization is one thing. That's where we brought the kasha. But the fact that the sofer is actually going to be writing it now for the husband and the marriage because he knows what it's all about, that lishma part is being taken care of. The kasha wasn't the lishma part, like the korbanim mixed it up together. It's more like the Pnei Moshe said it. This, well, the article quoted, I think, one of them, Farshim on the Yerushalmi here. The issue is just the authorization part. In other words, having a get written ahead of time, which you can do with Haret Mutar Kol Adam, which is the critical part of the get, that's the kasha, not the lishma part. So if you can write that ahead of time, but isn't that without the authorization of the husband? Now, the fact you're going to write the names later on, well, that's fine. Everyone agrees that can't be written ahead of time. And that part is being written, if you like, lishma. And that lishma part's not a problem because in this case situation, the sofer would be writing at lishma. I'm not sure if that's so clear why what I said, but in other words, the fact that it wasn't authorized, it isn't a chisaron lishma. It's authorization per se, which we're trying to say is a kasha. And if you don't need authorization according to Rabbi Yochanan to say haray mutar lekol adam, then clearly that could be written. Then it shouldn't be a problem, even if the sofer wrote that without instruction, because clearly you can write ahead of time. So that's why he explains the mission must be like the Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbi Yehuda then has to be written. That even the Tofes cannot be read ahead of time, and that's why the Mishnah says the get itself is pasul. Okay, let's continue. Listen, next part. This is Halacha Gimel. Zegitech emeti. If he says this is my get, if I die, he hands it to her on the condition he dies. Zegitech micholizeh. If he dies from this such a disease, zegitech lachar mitati. If he says this is my get after I die, lo mar klum. It doesn't work. Why? Because the get according to that stipulation is only going to be chal after he dies. And the woman can't be divorced after the husband's already dead. That doesn't work that way. If he says mehayom, if he says from today emeti, from today if I die, well then he's making the get chal immediately. Okay, and maybe it's the trigger is when he did, but his divorce right from that moment me'achshav emeti, then it's fine because he's divorced from now. However, if he says mehayom la'achar mitati, then that's a bit of a mix-up now. Saying today and after my death, how do we understand that? We say ain't no get, it's not ideal get, but if he was divorced based on that get, the imet, if he dies, cholets then chalitza has to be performed and they cannot do yibum. Now the Gemara says, zegitech emiti, zegitech micholize, zegitech lachar mitati, lo amar klo. Okay, so in that situation, he says, this is a get if I die, zeget if I die from this such and such a disease. This is a get if after my death, lo maklum, it's meaningless. Like I said in the Mishnah, because the get it's effectively gets being chal after he dies. If I says verabotenu amru harezeg and verabotenu, however, they say it is a get. It does work. Why is that? So I'll read the korbanan. It says hadanan lakaman sof pirkin. That which it says in the perek harezeg itech im lo bati mikan va'ad yom bechodesh. This is a case. This particular situation is where a person says, I'm divorcing you. This get is your get if I don't return within 12 months. Okay? And unfortunately, though, umet, and he died within the 12 months. So had he just not returned and he's in another country, he's still alive and the get's a get because let's say it's chal after 12 months and it's fine, it's still alive. She's being divorced in the lifetime of the husband. If he dies within the 12 months, it's not a get. Why? Because this get is not only going to be chal after he effectively died, because he said, if I don't return in 12 months. However, Amu Rabotenu, the Rabotenu said, who is Rabotenu? We'll discuss that too. That's a get. Why? The Savri Krebiosi, the Hodak Krebiosi. The Amar Zmano Shel Shtar Mochiach Alav. The time, the date on the Shtar is Mochiach on it. It's indicative, has a legal implication. The Lahach Ichtov, why did they write this man in the Shtar? So the Lahach Ichtov Zman B'Shtar Lidei Ematai Masarlo, when it was handed over. The Havale, and therefore it's Komer Ma'achshav Dami. The date in the get, even though it says if I don't return in 12 months, it's as if he's saying me'achshav from this point in time, even if he didn't say it, because the date itself has a legal implication. That's a position of Rabbi Yossi. V'achinami so to here, if he says in our case, v'achinami ha'omer ze gitech immeti, then it'll be a get as well in our Mishnah according to Rabbeinu. Is it like if he says if I die? Now, even though it sounds like according to the Tanakhama, well, you're saying is only going to it's only be a get after death, and that wouldn't work, according to Rabbi Yossi, the date said effectively implies that it's from now. So the Rabbi Yossi Afak of the Lokatav even doesn't have to write Mehayom, because the fact that the date itself is Keman Dichtav Mehayom Dami, it's if the date, as if he wrote from today. Okay, that's the position of Rabbi Yossi. So that's Machlok Rabotenu and our Mishnah. The Gemara says, Mani Rabotenu, who's Rabotenu? Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, or Beit Dino. It's Rabbi Yehuda Nasi and his Beit Din. Interesting. V'shalosh v'shcha mekomot nikra, and there's certain three locations where Rabbi Yehuda Anasi is referred to as Rabotenu. Okay, so it's not a general expression. It's only three times. What are they? Gitin, which is Asugya. B'shemen, this is referring to where there were matir shemen shel akum. There were certain things that were gozer, you can have from akum, bread and things like that, and wine, mishum chatnut. But oil, he was matir. And the final one is a sandal. This is referred to a aborted fetus that is like squished down, like flattened. And whether in other words, your ledit is tameh for a certain amount of time, if it's a boy or a girl after birth, for different periods of time. And that situation, the Mishnah says in Parashat Sandal, you can't really discern what the gender is. You've got to be choshesh for both zachar and nekeva, for the times of tumah and the times of tahara. We'll get to that in Masechta Nida. However, the Rav Chachamim or Meid, Rabotenu, this is Rabbi Yehuda and Beit Dino, that a sandal, it has to, in order to be considered a vlad, like a fetus that was aborted, it has to have a tzurat panim. If it doesn't, it's not considered later. Okay, so it was makil in these three things. The Gemara says, Shekol Beitin Shumat, the Gemara says, well, Vikrol Beitin Sharia, why not refer to Beitin as Matirat? Shekol Beitin Shuhu Matir, any Beitin that is Matir, Shloshad Varim, three things, when you grab Beitin Sharia. So Amra Yudin Bar Ishmael, Beitin Chaluk Alav Begitin. The Beitin itself wasn't a Beitin Sharia because there were Cholok on this case of Gitin. And the Gemara says, okay, in this situation, where the husband gives one woman a get, and says, if I don't return it within 12 months, then you're divorced, and he dies after six, is she mutar to marry straight away? So Reb Chaike says, mutar l'nase, because clearly he's not going to return. So it's as if the tnai is already fulfilled. Who says? He says, maybe he miraculously come back, and therefore, it's interesting pshat here, but in other words, no, the actual condition has to be fulfilled with absolute certainty, and it sounds like death within the 12 months is not enough certainty for it. Okay, now the Gemara says, this part of the different gurus, we're going to explain it by Korbanator. He says, if he says, Mayom imeti, or Me'achshav imeti, hare ze get. If he says, from now, explicitly, clearly, it's a get. If he combines both from today and after death, then we say ain't no getting it's a suffix, really. That was the case of a suffix. So Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Now here the comment changes quite a bit around. He says, Rebbe Verabotenu had kashas on Rabbanan. Let's go through them one by one. Meitiven, Rebbe referred to us at Rabbanan as follows. Lama atun amrim hareze get. In the case where he says me'achshav, why is it a get? Begin, let me just show you this. Begin to Amar im, because it says im, what was the Lashon? Me'yom im meti. The assumption is, okay, what is it? Or me'achshav im meti. So the assumption is it because you say the word im? Well, it's not because of that. Why? Because if you continue, Vaha Resha, again, gives a change, but when it comes to the Resha, it uses the word im meti, if I die. The atun amrin and a get, and you say it's not a get in this situation because clearly that means lachar mita. So ella, it must be that the middle case you read and say the reason why you maintain that is considered megureshit is because begin to amar mehayom, because you said from today, that is a clincher, that's a critical piece of information that means it's megureshit even from now, if you like. So the Gemara is af anan, so too an ken itlan mehayom ikar. So therefore, the way the Kramanek explains it. This last case, if he says, Mayom la'achar mitati, sorry, the case of the double lashon, he says it shouldn't even be a suffix. You shouldn't say ain or get, because Mayom is such a critical determining fact that you should be considered a get. Because again, let's go through the lashon. It says, Mayom la'achar mitati, Mayom is so critical, just because we saw that adding Mayom in the case of Mayom imeti, is that's what makes it considered mamash me'achshav. So do we disagree? So it sounds like Rebbe completely disagrees with the position of the Tanur and Mishnah, the Rabbanan, in that the last case is not even considered a suffix. Now the Gemara continues. We'll just do a little bit more. Meitiv, now the Rabotenu. Now Rabotenu was Rebbe Beit Dino, if you remember. Meitiv Rabotenu the Rabbanan. Lama atun amrim eino get. Why do you say in the case where he says imeti eino get? Begin to amar mehayom. It says, He's bringing the kasha from the end, in the sefer, the very end. When it says mayom lachar mita eno get, why did you say that it's a suffix? Well, it's not considered good enough get. Must be shmamina de mahayom lo mahani. It must mean that mayom is not considered significant enough. So therefore, so let's read it again. Lamatun amrim eno get begin to amar mahayom. Vaha sefer. Mehayom, in this middle, really, or this middle case, really, when you said mayom imeti, atomamim hareze get, you say that is considered a good get. So if in the last case, the third case, mehayom olacharmita, mehayom isn't strong enough to mean today, that means in the middle case, however, when you said it is strong enough, it can't be because of the word mehayom. It must be because you said im, if. Okay, so ela begin to amar im. So therefore. Af ana itli im ikar. So therefore, that's why Rabbeinu say that when you said im in the very reisha im meiti micholi leze, that's what Rabbeinu, which is Rabbi Yehuda, says in that situation. Clearly, im meiti it must mean that it should be considered a get, even you say otherwise. So I'll just explain that much more clearly. Right, let's do chazar from the whole thing, okay? Just because I want the flow to go nicely. The Rebbe's kasha on the Rabbanan was in the final case. Why are you saying it's enul get? The term mahayom is there. Mahayom lachar mitati. Why are you saying it's a suffix? Because look in the middle case. You see the word mahayom is considered such a critical piece that determines it means from now. So if the middle case, it means from now, is a get, so to the last case, for sure should be a get. That's kasha. That's kasha from his perspective. The Rebbe takes a completely different vantage point from the position of the Korban Eder. He says, in the last case, since you say mayom lachar mitzvah is eno get, that means mayom is not sufficient enough. It's not strong enough to mean from now. So in the middle case, when he says mayom imeti, in the middle case, when he says from now if I die, that must mean mayom. If mayom can't be the clinch, it must be the word im. So therefore, that supports my position. If it says im, which is harezi get imeti, then it should be get. So why in the ratio you say it's anal get? Okay, so that's much more clear. The kasha that Shari Korban brings is, why is this even a kasha? If you remember, the whole justification is not because of the terminology im means now. The whole position of the Rabbeinu is because the date within the shtar is mochiach alav. And that's why, so he brings that as a kasha, and then he brings a different nusach as a result of it. But I think we've done enough today. All right, cult of, sorry for the interruption in between. All right, take care.